What's the worst that could happen? Have you ever found yourself saying that to someone when you're trying to convince them to do something? But I don't think I want to eat the raw sea slug. Come on, what's the worst that can happen? You don't really worry about that worst if you don't think it's going to happen. And if it does, well, you've always recovered from it in the past. That kind of thinking has worked out okay for us so far. But now, with 6 billion people and technology that might be able to change the planet, it's conceivable that there may be some worst that we can't recover from. Take global warming, for example. If you listen to the worst predictions, we may be in for a nasty future with storms, droughts, floods, epidemics, famine. But what if that worst isn't going to happen? What if it's not true? Or that we're not the ones doing it? Seems like a pretty important question to figure out, what with the fate of the human race and all. Which is probably why there's still some bitter fighting going on about it right now. What if I told you I think I've found an argument that makes that whole bitter question of whether it's really happening or not work? An argument where we don't need to know whether it's true or not in order to still decide to step out. An argument that leads to a conclusion that even the most hardened skeptic and the most panicked activist both sides of this. She wanted to move to California. It seems like it to me too. But she wanted to put this argument out there. I can't see her reasons to move out. Because frankly, no one else makes it so far. And it leads to a conclusion I find inescapable.
I couldn't possibly live up to her expectations.
So, here it is.
She told us that.
No. She was always positive about things, but I felt it. I felt that I couldn't possibly live up to her expectations. So I left her. Deserted her. But I think she is truly better off without me. I do.
I wonder if she would feel the same way, Mr. Gerald. I doubt it. The Queen of Pentacles. The Mentor. The Teacher.
Mrs. Barrington. She certainly taught me a lot.
Birdie num num. Birdie num num. Birdie num num. A birdie num num.
Well, that's right.
Go on.
There were four of
them. Go on.
Two cups.
I'll give you a lot now. Having the birdie num nums. She's waiting for more num num. All gone. Num num is gone.
Are you ticklish? Stop screaming! Upsy-daisy! You slut, tell me where your friends have gone. Come on, you shared a cell with them, so you were in on it too.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, your nice friends made their break without you. Do you want me to tickle you some more? Keep it up! Tell me where they are. Confess.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Up, I said.
Stop it! Stop it!
You filthy... I'll make you mad! Tell me! I know how to make you confess!
I'll confess everything. I'm a low, filthy woman. I've tried sex with everything and anyone. I'm not really Queen Isabella.
Stop that babbling!
No, it's the truth.
That's enough.
I drowned the king. I've had sex with the directress.
You're not fooling us. Stop acting like an idiot. I'll succeed in making you talk. You talk, talk. Tell us where your friends are.
You bastards. If I knew, I'd never tell you.
You dirty.
You're never.
I'll rip your pot.
Chop off my head. I don't care. I'll die like a queen, even though I never lived like one. Chop it off.
You'll keep your head until you talk. Now I'm really going to make you talk. You scum! This is your last chance. Where did your friends go?
Birdie num num. Birdie num num.
Well.
Birdie num num. Birdie num num.
Yeah, that's right.
Go on.
There were four of
them. Go on. I'll give you a lot now. Having the birdie num num.
Maybe lay it out for us.
Good. He's waiting for more num-num.
The first thing that's important to recognize is that computers are growing exponentially in power. They're doubling in less than a year for the same cost. And that's actually a trajectory that's been going on for 110 years. And will continue. And it will continue past Moore's Law. Moore's Law was not the first paradigm to bring exponential growth to computing. It was the fifth paradigm. The exponential growth of computing started decades before Gordon Moore was born. We had electromechanical calculators, relay-based computers, such as Alan Turing's machine, which cracked the German Enigma code. We had vacuum tube-based computers in the 1950s. CBS predicted the election of Eisenhower in 1952 with a vacuum tube-based computer. And then there were shrinking vacuum tubes, every year making them smaller and smaller to keep this exponential growth going. That finally hit a wall. They got to a point where they couldn't shrink the vacuum tubes anymore and keep the vacuum. And that was the end of the shrinking of vacuum tubes. It was not the end of the exponential growth of computing. We went to the fourth paradigm, transistors, and finally integrated circuits and Moore's Law and the shrinking of component sizes on an integrated circuit. As paradigms go, that's been a great paradigm, but it's not the sum total of this exponential growth of computing. It will come to an end, you know, by around 2020. The key feature sizes then will be on the order of 4 nanometers, which is about 20 carbon atoms, and we won't be able to shrink them anymore. But we'll then go to the sixth paradigm, which is three-dimensional molecular computing, self-organizing circuits. I talked about this in the 1999 book, The Experiment of Machines. There, all right,
Charlie, there. All right, Charlie, contact, switch off.
That's more like it. The natural liquid of a pure product of nature. No glutamate, no hexachlorophene, without any sweetening chemicals. You too, fill your glass of your life with the secret of blue. You won't be sorry.
Blue drink. We now continue with our news report. As we already told you in our last program, the unknown killer of young people has returned to strike again. The latest victim, Diego Olea, was 19 years old and worked as a second assistant mechanic in an aviation plant. A great psychosis of terror has spread among the young people and adolescents in town since, as has been established, the murderer invariably chooses his victims among boys between the ages of 17 and 25 years. Although the Department of Police refuses to give out anything official, it is supposed that the murderer is unbalanced mentally or a sick sadist with tendencies toward homosexuality.
Ma'am, you already signed for
me. If I keep it, I sign. I don't want it.
Ma'am, please.
It's not for me. This is not for me. It's the wrong name.
What? How can it be the wrong name?
Because this is the Rotary Club. These are my husband. This is not for me. They addressed me to the wrong person. I don't want it. I don't want to legally open it, and I want it back. I don't sign for somebody else's mail.
Ma'am, can you just bring it back to the office and
check? No. Take it back because it's not mine.
Ma'am, no, I cannot give you this.
Why do you want the signature
to
your name? You want me to lock you up for life? Give me my
certificate
back.
Ma'am.
And I'm not prejudiced, but right now I'm getting real pissed off.
Ma'am, why are you calling me names? I mean, I'm just delivering your mail.
You're asking what the digger, don't give me the cards back.
All right, ma'am, I'm
going to
have to go, ma'am. I'm sorry.
Give me the cards back.
Ma'am, I'm sorry. Why are you calling me these names?
Because you're acting like a moron.
I can't, ma'am.
call me a nigger. I don't care. Well, you getting car
back? Yeah, I'm not going to call you.
You getting car
back? I can't, man. I can't. You verified it, and you verified that was...
I can't. I can't sign for it. If I don't take it, I don't. I'm going to give a man who's going to want it. There's no money involved here.
Ma'am.
Ma'am,
I cannot do this, ma'am. Ma'am, I'm late for the mail. I mean, for the customers. I have to deal with your mail. You're going to the mail. Why you would have killed me, ma'am?
I don't think.
Who? White people? Ma'am, who are you people? Ma'am, what? Oh, why you slap me, ma'am? Why you slap me, ma'am? Ma'am, why you slapping me?
Why do you want to do this? You killed Martin Luther King. You make us turn on each other. You stupid. You turn on me. I'm your
ma'am.
Lawyer, you dumb.
Ma'am.
You're terrible wonder.
Why you slap me, ma'am? But you didn't have to hurt me, ma'am. Why you slap me, ma'am?
I am not slapping you. Don't make your wife slap you. Take the letter. I don't want the letter and I want my
car. I don't believe you're doing this to me. I don't believe this. Why you call me a thief?
Give me the car.
I can't give you the car back, ma'am. Yes. What they doing? What they are doing, ma'am. I mean, I don't know. I don't know them. Can you give me a chance to call my employer before you slap me again? I'm not going to turn on you, man. I just delivered your mail and you slapped me. I don't want to hear that story. The thing is, I'm here and you...
This is a religious cult, isn't it?
If you want to think I'm some sort of crazy that lives with a horrible tribe, it's up to you.
Well, you're not answering my question.
Oh, people love to put labels on things. You can call it a cult so you don't have to understand what's going on here. St. Augustine said, I believe in order that I might understand.
Oh, this is definitely a religious cult.
Community of people trying to create a better world. You knew from the beginning I had a special kind of life.
Yeah.
It's a good life. I just wanted you to see it. Anyway, it's only a 3-day weekend. You're free to come and go.
Just one day. Yeah.
Say brownie.
How about it?
Chance of a lifetime to rid ourselves of our inhibitions. After all, it's unlikely that we'll ever meet each other again.
I think it would be fascinating. We're like survivors of a shipwreck on a desert island.
What it is.
Keep quiet!
Why? I think Spike's the only one who's understood.
Stop it, Sylvia. You're not at your club.
Inspector, have you ever arrested anyone for not having a sense of humor?
We'd all like to play a less enjoyable game, Mrs. Forrest. Like looking for a way out. Surely there should be another road around here, or even a path.
The entire area is in a disastrous condition. And even more dangerous in the dark.
Really, Inspector. But we're not on a battlefield. Each of us is free to stay or leave.
We are safe here. At dawn, they will send help. I ask you all to cooperate.
Well said, Inspector. I think I'll drink a toast to your stirring oratory, since the man did say to make ourselves at home.
Well, if you can't beat her, join her.
Wouldn't anyone else like to join us?
Or must I ask your permission, Inspector?
You can do what you like, Mrs. Forrest.
Doctor, I wonder what your major concern is tonight. The death of your patient or the chance you lost to perform another brilliant...
Do you think that death is the end of everything?
Sorry, I have no wish to argue philosophy.
Let's see what's behind your mask, Miss West. You don't mind if I take a guess, do you? I bet you're in love with a doctor, and you don't have the courage to show it.
I beg your pardon.
Of course I do. It's my destiny to know.
Why?
But how can I...
I think you'd rather...
Here we go.
Oh, you're such a bore, Doc. By the way, can anyone play with death?
Where do you think you're
going? Oh, don't be such a party pooper, Inspector. The evening is at last showing signs of becoming interesting.
So, Chizaki. My hand in thy hand.
Osaki, that lucky son.
Even to thy lips.
Damn, look at that.
And one word of mine in thy
hand.
With an excess of
thanks
love.
Thanks again. Hey,
wait
up.
Eyes.
Here.
Do not arrange thy hair.
Thank you.
Or fear the overheated iron burn thy neck or locks.
Okay, I'll take both.
Leave it upon thy shoulders and spread over thine arm. Do not dress thyself, or fear the girdle redden the slender folds of thy hips.
Akuma. Akuma.
Lean naked like a little girl.
Tell me Miss Togami wasn't a monster, that she didn't rape me. Oh, please. Tell me nothing
and
happened.
A blemish of an...
It's okay, Akemi. No, nothing happened. It was all just a bad dream.
A scratch of a sharp
thank
nail.
You.
Or the reddening bar of my embrace. Beneath thy hair thou disassemblest thy moist eyes.
Here,
thy trembling mouth.
Okay.
And the pink flowers of thine ears. But nothing stops my regard from warmth.
I know it's him. I can smell it.
Into the cover of transparent wool we slipped.
He's the
she
one.
Not.
He's Chojin.
Even our heads were covered. And the lamp shone through the cloth about us.
Akemi?
Yes?
Thus I saw her dear body in
Akemi, I just wanted you to know that I've been in love with you for a long time now.
We were very near.
That makes me very happy.
Forced
but if you believe in God...
Naked.
But Nogumo, what if it happens?
We had left our hair bound up in order to be still more uncovered. Close air.
You really don't have to sell me. You see, I'm here.
Akemi, my love.
Because the force of doubt is as strong as the force of belief.
I'll never let it happen again.
Well, then why don't we abort
the whole
thing?
Not even the lamp
solves
that
matter. Yes, I promise.
Which of us
was loved? I think this whole thing is just an exercise in hysteria. We understand.
But
let's try to explain.
The men know nothing of it.
The ghost of Samoli appears only on
one
ASA planes,
long,
usually
dark
on the L-10-11s,
spreading from thy neck,
where salvage parts in the wreck have been used.
Dove, whose heart pounds.
There's a relationship between inanimate objects and people.
Psychometry.
I will take
right.
My lips with
we've got a theory for that.
As
we believe that
the
soul the
breast
exists.
Mother.
That it continues being after we die. And psychometry ties in with people who die suddenly, prematurely, violently. Whenever people die this way, they stay near familiar objects and places.
We also believe that while they're near these places, they somehow manage to jump from one energy field to another.
Perhaps I would close thy burning eyelids with my kiss.
Love me. Themselves
now with smiles.
What we have to do
flowers,
is try to imagine ourselves in Dom Simone's place.
To me.
In that terrifying,
please,
God, one tiny fraction of a second, when he knew the plane was crashing, he knew he was facing death. The one thought he had was to save the plane. Imagine the shock.
When I feel thy light touching me.
Can't be happening. That awesome drive.
The
one responsibility that every crewman has to all his passengers. Where do all these responses were they? Mine? Better one.
That's right. Because we believe that consciousness goes on living.
It's cosmic energy, misdirected, thrown out of whack. Whenever extreme anxiety
is leads us in sorrow.
The idea is that every now and then,
thou wilt suffer us on the bed and bring the child into the world.
No longer exist here on
earth.
It hasn't yet found its way to the plane.
We rest.
It's destined to reach.
The silence must first fulfill
whatever obligations it has here on the earth.
The chief leaving me asleep.
Why don't we get on with it?
Hand about my arm. She murmurs.
Okay.
Latest.
I get the tape recorder.
Thou sleepest? My heart throbs, but without response I respire regularly like a woman couched in dreams. Then she begins to speak.
The purpose of this session is to contact Dom Somoli. Any information?
Oh, how
any help?
In stunned disbelief, the Man of Steel switches on his TV in search of some sort of explanation.
Mine are these naked eyes.
And here at the scene, our cameras clearly show the extent of the destruction, indicating it was truly a miracle that no lives were lost, although a small number of people were injured. And as unthinkable as it is to believe, all the eyewitnesses named the same culprit, Superman.
That's impossible. I was here asleep.
The mayor and law enforcement officials are said to be meeting right now to discuss what sort of action should be taken against Superman for this despicable display of superpowers on a rampage. As soon as a decision is reached, WGBS-TV will relay the information to you viewers. This is Lois Lane, here in the wake of chaos on 3rd Avenue, returning you now to our studios.
Thank you, Lois. We'll have more news after this commercial word.
Friends, do you ever worry about perspiration odor?
At least I think I was here asleep. Is it possible, conceivable, that I sleep, walked out of my apartment and went berserk as Superman? Could the memory of my rampage be so unbearable I blotted it out, thinking it was only a dream?
But wait, I've just been handed a bulletin. A small army of police have surrounded the laboratory retreat of arch-criminal Lex Luthor. All efforts to force him out in the open have been stymied by Luthor's arsenal of super-scientific weapons. Ordinarily, the police force would broadcast a plea to Superman for help. But in view of his recent wild rampage...
If it was me on that rampage, I should turn myself in. But not while Lex Luthor is still at large. Bringing in that fiend may be my last official act as Superman, but it's got to be done. And now!
Meanwhile, at the scene of the crisis, a deserted pavilion left behind from the 1968 Metropolis World's Fair.
Come out with your hands above your head, Luthor. We've got you completely surrounded, and more reinforcements are on the way.
You can call in the entire police force of Gotham City while you're at it, but there's no way any of you can break through the impenetrable force field that's projected around the pavilion. No way!
We've got the heavy artillery set up now, Chief.
All right, give the men the order to fire.
I don't believe it. Not one of them connected. I mean, we can't even see that crazy barrier, but it stops anything short of an A-bomb.
Don't kid yourself. Probably Megatons move along with everything else. I don't know what we can... Superman!
I'm here to help.
I don't know if I should try to arrest you myself or call the Marines first.
I won't offer any resistance, Chief, as long as you let me arrest Luthor first.
But how do we know you won't turn wild again? I don't know.
Let's face it, Chief. Nothing we've got is going to get us inside that barrier. Superman's the only guy on Earth who can crack it.
Okay, Superman, you're on. Do what you do best.
My pleasure, Chief.
Right,
right,
forward, and point the right thing.
You mean with men? I don't mean with monkeys. You angry about this afternoon? Did something happen this afternoon? Don't be so damn cute. I don't mind Dave making it in the bushes with you. It's just that I haven't had any fun for over a month now. Look at me. I got a sexy body. Don't I have a beautiful body? Actually, you're in better shape than I am. Of course, you've never seen me naked, though. A lot of women look good till they take their clothes off. me, I look even better without my clothes. Here, I'll show you. Let me help you. It's very simple, Cynic. Let me do it.
Baby?
Right here, baby.
Back off, cowboy.
Come on, baby. Quit fooling around.
Quit fooling around? You got a lot of saying that to me, you son of a... I am sick and tired of hearing about you playing with every girl in this camp.
You know I'm not serious with them. You're the only one, babe.
Just keep it that way, Buster. I'm warning you, stay the hell away from the other girls in this camp, and especially that Veronica.
Are you crazy? Me and Veronica?
Just keep it that way, buddy.
Hey, look, don't be warning me, because you're getting me mad, and when I get mad, I get rough.
Come on, big man, let's see how tough you can get. Come on.
Ouch!
Oh, real tough guy, real tough.
Don't push me, baby.
Oh, come on.
You want to see how tough I can get, baby?
Yeah, let's see how tough you can get.
I'll show you how tough I can get.
Ah! Come on!
I'll show you how tough I can get.
Ah! Oh, yeah. Thank you, Captain. I'll be right next to you.
Viking spacecraft that landed on Mars in July 1976 took some of the mystery out of the Red Planet.
Christiana.
There are no water-filled canals. There are no
more. I killed them all!
And in place of the lush vegetation once thought to grace the canal banks, Viking's television cameras and other instruments showed a rock-littered desert landscape smothered in iron oxide dust.
I killed them all!
The two Voyager spacecraft that flew by Jupiter in 1979 gave us spectacular close-up views of the planet King and five of his 14 moons.
I killed them all!
As Voyager 1 neared Jupiter, the tiny spacecraft crossed the planet's bow shock, a mammoth wall of charged particles bordering Jupiter's powerful magnetic field. The chirping sound is made by electrical charges dancing about near the edge of the shock. Many Jupiter surprises was that the giant planet, like Earth, was alive with whistling and the chirps of a dawn chorus.
With radio telescopes, astronomers tune in signals sent out by stars and by galaxies far beyond our own. Among such star sounds are some from special stars called pulsars. These are the rapidly rotating exposed cores of supernovas, stars that have blown off their outer shells of gas in catastrophic explosions. Pulsars curl radio signals across the vast distances of the galaxy, much as the rotating beacon of a lighthouse sweeps its light beam around. One pulse for each rotation. We can hear this pulsar rotating four times a second.
So, when we say
the younger a pulsar, the more rapidly it spins. Some rotate too fast to count by ear. We can hear a pulsar's rhythm in finer detail when we slow down the tape.
So,
here is the pulsar VRX at normal speed, about 10 times a second.
A very powerful track. Self-created. Especially because it's self-created. You have no means to
and
break
here,
it.
And here, slowed down to one quarter speed.
There is a certain sense of attachment and liking to it. You can't break it. Have you seen a different status in your life Some silly little
of
things
all
which
the objects in the universe, black holes
you know,
are among
use,
the most mysterious. Black holes are so
even
dense that no energy can escape from them, not even light. So we have no way of detecting them directly. Astronomers suspect that black holes may lie at the center of many galaxies, such as this one known as M87.
It's very hard to break it.
A clue to the black hole's existence are mysterious radio pulses coming from the heart of the galaxy. Perhaps the universe is a vast stage on which the mystery of creation is still being acted out. Do intelligent beings inhabit the dark depths of space, yearning as we yearn to hear a voice from afar? Many astronomers feel that advanced life abounds in the universe. At this very moment, a message written by Earthlings and beamed into space by the Arecibo radio telescope is crossing the universe at the speed of light.
Lots of people cannot receive something gracefully. And all this for social ethics have taught you giving is important.
If there are intelligent civilizations out there, perhaps one of them, one day, may hear that message. If they do, they will know they are not lonely witnesses to the wonders of the universe. And perhaps we ourselves someday may receive a message from other beings. A cosmic greeting every bit as wondrous as the origin and evolution of life on planet Earth.
Lodging for solitary men. no one would think that in such a popular air tourist junction and tourist showcase, the human beings must pay for shameful quarters like they do on the dark side of Metropolis. Take a look in one of these pitiable hotels, where the host's privilege consists of utilizing a narrow cage and a wooden plank. We provide our pets with more pleasant surroundings in our animal shelters. For that very reason, it is not permitted to discuss the wretched conditions that exist here.
Of life play a domineering role in the life of Asians. As previously mentioned, male pride and ancient moral codes sublimate female sexual desire and send lust into a taboo of discretion and camouflage. As a result, there is an underground network of bordellos, entire districts catering to the sale of flesh. There is unheard of competition among prostitutes.
What else is going on around here?
And this is the case in many far eastern cities.
I want that boy out of my house. Do I make myself clear?
What's poor Billy done?
Except renovate practically your entire house free of charge. And the garden too.
I want him out today.
Would you mind giving me one good reason?
Be quiet. Hold your tongue.
If I were your mother, I wouldn't insist on this.
You will do exactly as I tell you. He goes today.
In that case, so do I.
Sir?
You can kick me out at the same time. I knew it. You fool of a girl.
Fool!
I suggest you replace me with Mrs. McMurtry. You get on so well together.
You're mad.
I shall find a job and live in a flat in another town in another part of the country.
I believed it. You possessed by the devil. Sold your soul. Lewis. Your own daughter.
I am not your own daughter. And never for one moment have you let me forget.
I saved you. I nursed you. I gave you everything.
Well, thanks.
Are you having a dance?
I should have guessed him.
Really? Yeah, you must say this.
Mara!
I really can't. No, stay. I really have to get going.
We don't want nobody.
What are you doing?
My brother's waiting.
Hey, that's gonna be mother.
Wait a minute. What are you gonna do?
Rape. We always rape somebody tonight at the big dance.
It's tradition.
It is part of our heritage.
Everybody knows that.
Who's going first?
Oh, don't do it.
Why, the guest of honor.
It's you, Sydney.
That's me.
Yeah, baby.
Well, I'm fooling around. Whoa! Hey, I'm too bad.
This is your first race?
This would be my first.
Ah, don't fool around. Get in on it.
Please, Rick.
Rick, hot stuff. Cold, hot stuff.
Eastman color, the daring, dancing, enticing, and horrifying, the incredibly strange creatures who stopped living and became mixed-up zombies. Who is the woman branded in birth wearing the wart of horror, the world's first monster musical? The incredibly strange creatures who stopped living and became mixed-up zombies.
By sordid associations with criminal exploitation and wasted lives. Some blame LSD for glamorizing drug taking, paving the way for today's more deadly addictions.
No longer.
Heroin?
What became of you?
I don't know what all this fuss is about.
Highest.
I could handle it.
Okay. So I do heroin a bit now. But I can control it. I could stop. If I wanted to.
There's no way I'm going to become an addict. I just do heroin.
Look.
I've got this thing under control.
Just got a touch of flu, babe.
Everyone thinks they can control heroin until it starts to control them.
I could give up tomorrow.
What?
Couldn't I?
We've got to make a distinction between heroin, which is a drug which creates physical dependence, and LSD. Which is a drug which has no physical dependence. And I don't believe you can make the link between the use of LSD in the 1960s and the 1970s with the use of heroin and other drugs like that in the 1980s. In the 1960s and 70s, people were using drugs like LSD, believing that it was a means of gaining greater self-awareness, greater insight into their own being. In the 1980s, people are using drugs like LSD as a means of escaping reality, of avoiding the unpleasantness of life. Of course, in a sense, it doesn't really matter what reasons people have for using it. What does matter is that LSD is an extraordinarily powerful drug whose effect we can't really control. And we can't control what we take. It creates so many risks for those who use it and for society generally, but I believe we've got no choice but to retain legal controls on its use.
Aldous Huxley, whose early experiments with mescaline influenced popular interest in LSD, never lost faith in the value of such a
You know your father loves hot dogs. Besides, he's a kosher.
Oh, a pig wouldn't be caught dead in those.
You can say that again.
You said a pig wouldn't be caught dead in those.
Oh, shut up! Somebody didn't mean
to be caught dead in those. Truth would be for us now.
Truth. Bless is much to us bunch.
So they are.
As we lunch.
Amen. Both here. And hereafter. Fox being thieves.
He doesn't have any pants on.
The parents.
Never does.
Of all.
How many? Peppy, two please with the mustard.
And girl. As the soul.
Is there relish? Come on. Is there relish?
So
I said, is there relish?
I can no longer stand this abuse.
You want to know?
Douglas, let's go to my room for lunch. Sheila, spring us a tray, please.
But Sheila, dear. No, it's not proper for a young lady to take a man to her room.
Lady! Oh, my mother, Douglas is my fiancé. And that's for you.
Yes. Oh, well, I guess we all need a position in life, don't we, Douglas?
How dare you insult Douglas!
Do not fade or spirit. Speak in our tongue.
Shame of it. What would a new maid think? Oh, please.
The energies are expended.
Oh, Harris, do you have a napkin? Get me. Don't just sit there. Get me some rags, man.
Well, it's once more.
Anyway, you can imagine how this woman feels when she finds out that her 17-year-old son is making it with one of her best friends. Now, you have to remember that she has a young lover of her own, so it makes her take a very long look at her whole scene. This way, in my new film, they drag in this whole thing about the lack of communication between parents and kids. We meet again. Coming to my den, said the spider, etc.
I was looking for somebody.
Anybody I know?
Where do you get this anybody I know business from, one of those pornographic movies you're starring?
I mean, my controversial box office blockbuster.
Ashley St. Ives.
No, I guess I was.
I saw one of your movies once. I think it was the one about the teenage incest.
You'll have to help me on the research for the next
Ellie did eventually meet Ken, who shares her
sexual preference.
Name some more.
All right, then. How about a toe freak?
I was technically a virgin until I was 21 years old. I was a zoophile.
Beautiful woman kissing me.
Basically, didn't have much interest in other members of my own species as far as a life bond. But when I met Ellie here, we clicked.
That sounds
the one person that
you're a groovy boy.
I felt within a week,
I'd like to strap you on sometime.
We're meant to be together.
Ken and Ellie met their zoo friend on the internet. After a few weeks, they arranged their first date.
A deathly dry.
Well, the first night that he came up to visit me, I took him down to the barn to introduce him to some of my horses and some of the other horses that I enjoyed at the barn. And I took him in and introduced him to my miniature stallion. And kind of, I don't know if it was subconscious, kind of, I was very nervous and kind of wanted to do the shock factor, as it were. My miniature stallion was dropped and masturbated when his penis was dropped and he slapped it on his belly. We call that masturbation for stallions. And so one thing led to another and I couldn't resist, so I bent down and started sucking on him. And then he tried climbing on top of me, so the next thing I know, my pants are down and I'm bending over for him, and I'm like, excuse me, I can't resist. And I guess part of me said, okay, either he's for real and he won't mind this, or he's not for real and he's going to be totally freaked out by it and run. Obviously, he didn't run.
No, actually, I was very tempted at the point to have sloppy sex. It turned me on. It was so erotic to watch this and just the whole thing. It didn't shock me at all. In fact, I was like,
"This is
pretty cool."
The other day, my wife and I were driving our 3.5-year-old
I think I found somebody here that might be on my plane here.
Well, now you
it went from there, and
the words with me, but you don't.
Here we are, married.
You only hop off the words. Hop off the words. And she was right.
Rumble in the car could actually be quite disturbing, and if you wanted to clear up a recording like that, you could re-record it, re-amplify it with another recorder, and by adjusting the volume, take out some of the bass, and thereby come out with a clear recording like this.
Mommy, now you follow the words, but you don't really sing.
Why? Because
Why, Brenda Maria,
I most certainly am. He spent the night with that thing.
The summer we were singing
in the tree. Hey, look what your mom gave me.
On the rest of this side, I'd like to show you how you can take your tapes and put together stories from the experiences you record. One day, a friend of ours called and told us that her 7.5-year-old son's turtle, Antonio, died. She asked me if I could have a funeral for her son's turtle in our backyard. And when they came over, I wanted to get the full story on tape. And she told me that little Daryl started to cry when he did that. He couldn't do it so well.
Except for the fact that the turtle had died, except for the death of the turtle. And finally, I began to talk to him about the possibility of having a funeral for the turtle. And this seemed to calm him down, the very thought that the turtle could, you know, he could visit the grave of the turtle. We discussed having a funeral where he could visit the grave of the turtle. Somehow this seemed to make him feel a little better. Also, I told Daryl the turtle would go to turtle heaven. And this also consoled him very much. The turtle wouldn't be sick anymore. The turtle would be well once he went to turtle heaven. This is also very consoling.
You, my mother, and the female
in the burial of the turtle. It was very consoling thing to him.
You did, Brandy. You knew it. You're the one going on and on about promises. Hey, listen.
Have the funeral service. I wanted to speak with Daryl and
a turtle.
May
Tony.
I politely inquire as to who this gorgeous dame is?
Well, we got a sword
behind your back.
We tried to save her by giving her hand again.
Yeah. Sort of. Yeah. So that name sort of does sound
right.
Good.
Bury him.
How do you feel,
sir? Not too well. So tragic for me. Of course, he was in my family. Oh, like a pet.
Well, I wanted to know why Daryl brought the flag and the little flag.
Why do you have the flag and why?
He was sort of like in my family.
My wife Rena and I, Daryl's mother, and Daryl, with the blue box with the turtle,
now look here,
and the flag, Jack, and the clarinet, went out into our snow-covered yard.
I'm not in the mood for your time today, Jock. Or any other day for that matter. So, would you be a good boy and go find a job or something, okay?
Well, now, that's just what I was doing.
Well, I'm afraid there's no job opening here. Unless you're good at second gear.
I hear you're pretty good at that. But that's not what I had in mind.
Well, just what did you have in mind?
Well, now, your sister and I was talking last night. You know, while I was, hosing her up good. You know, feeding her the old 12 inches, you know. Plowing the old field.
All right, okay, I get that part.
And we were just talking, like I said. And, I guess she was pretty drunk.
Oh, she's been drunk before.
Yeah, well, just to see how drunk she was, I made up a little spelling test for her. Asked her right where we was popping the old rocks.
And what did you ask her to spell?
I went easy on her. Didn't ask her anything hard. I just asked her to spell her own name. And you know, she spelled it wrong. And I mean all wrong.
Well, I've never passed a spelling test during orgasm either, to tell you the truth.
Woof.
I figured.
see. She spelled it S P A R K L E. Something like that.
Oh, that's a very fascinating story, Doc. And I appreciate you coming all the way down here to tell it to me. I mean, the fact that Sparkle can spell her own name correctly during orgasm is it's a daring new twist on an old story. Sorry, no room for stand-up comedians either. Now, if you will excuse me, I have to pee. Frida, will you watch it tomorrow for me?
Well, I was never an expert speller, but I would have thought it was something like,
Fool, he is about to be executed!
The
wings
of the minister
must not
lose
their
heads.
Don't worry, sweetheart. Only one of you loses heads. Your little friend Boris, the push of cliff.
Ooh, that's better.
We are always polite. Ladies first. But at that instant, Rocky launched himself off the cliff and down and swing.
Catch him! He's ruining the execution!
No! I can fly!
Oh?
Oh, boy, Rocky! Here he comes again, Doc!
Tell me, Theodore. Says anything about Pedinov can fly?
Not a word.
Could be we made a mistake?
Could be, but let's don't hang around to find out.
Well, looks like execution is off. We got Moose. Now we put him to work. For us, old buddy.
You mean I'm not out of job?
Of course not, dear boy. Was all mistake.
You mean I get same old salary?
Of course. 50 rickles a month and all you can steal.
Oh, boy.
Plus fringe benefits.
Fringe benefit?
Yes. We don't shoot you.
Back on the dock, a suspicious crowd watched as Bullwinkle and Rocky tried to get their disguises on.
How you doing, Rocky?
Gee, I thought it'd be years yet before I started shaving.
Well, I guess you really are tourists. Howdy, welcome to Pottsylvania and come along. Thanks, and where are we going?
Where else? To jail.
Jail?
Jail?
Jail? This is a Pottsylvanian howdy? Don't miss our next episode. The Pen Pals are Rock, Hockey, Rocky.